Amen. You are good. Hallelujah. Amen. Thankful for the presence of the Lord always. He ministers to us in so many ways, rather in word, in worship, in prayer, in our thought time, our quiet time. Seems like it's hard to get quiet time these days where your mind's not consumed with something else, you know. Just be able to reflect on the Lord and to think about the Lord and to understand his goodness and his kindness to us, and that he's ever present. He's always with us. He said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. He's always with us. And so there's no time where we stand alone. There's no time where he's not there. He's with us at our best. He's with us at our worst. Amen. He doesn't leave you when you're bad and come back when you're good. His grace is more powerful than anything you can do in your flesh. And he loves you. He's a good father. Amen. And so, thankful for his word that speaks encouragement to us, speaks life to us, and that we can speak life to one another. And feel the anointing in the presence of the Lord. I'm thankful that, you know, in the house there are many giftings, many talents, many treasures. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. We've been doing a series on shipwrecked. And we've been talking about Paul being shipwrecked. And his journey to appeal to Caesar. And the things that they encountered in that journey. How many know Paul was on that ship going to appeal before Caesar because he was accused of crimes against the Jewish council? And because he was preaching the message of Jesus and not preaching the law of Moses, and in preaching that, you know, the fulfillment of what Christ came to do and to establish a new covenant and a new way, that no longer were we saved by the blood of bulls and goats, but we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. Amen. And Jesus being that perfect lamb. And so he's on that boat going to appeal to Caesar because he figures he's got a better shot with Caesar because he's a Roman citizen than he does appealing to the Jewish council. Amen. Amen. And so while he's on there, there is a shipwreck. And there's some things that God spoke to them in that journey. He said, everybody's got to stay in the ship. There'll be no loss of life if everyone stays in the ship. He said, you got to throw some of the tackle overboard. You got to throw some of the things that is weighting the ship down. You're going to have to throw it overboard. How many know there's sometimes we got to throw some burdens and some heaviness and some things like that overboard? You got to get rid of some things. And he said that an angel spoke to him and said, Paul, you must go before Caesar. So this journey is not going to end here. How many are thankful that when you have a promise of God, that regardless of what comes between here and there, there's a promise. When he told the disciples to get in the boat, he said, get in the boat and what? Go to the other side. God never changed his mind in that. Even when the storm pops up in the middle of their journey from here to there, God never changed his mind about going to the other side. But sometimes in that journey, we happen to awaken the Christ that's in us. How many know the disciples had to awaken the Christ that was in their ship to be reminded that he was the King of Peace, that he was their peace, and that when he stands up in the midst of a situation and starts to speak, how many know even the winds and the sea obey him? And I think the message in that is learning that when we walk through things, sometimes we have to awaken the power of Christ that's in us. Be reminded that he's in the ship. He never left the ship. And he never changed his mandate to us that said, get in the ship and go to the other side. Amen? Hallelujah. Circumstances does not affect the mandate or the destiny that God put before the disciples. And so we talked about our ships being seaworthy. How many know to get a boat to float, it has to be seaworthy? And we talked about our friendships and our relationships and all of those things, all of those ships that have to be seaworthy, the things that we are connected with, fellowships, that's same fellows in the same ship. I mean, whoever we're in fellowship with matters. The things we're in fellowship with matters. And the thing that helps our ship be seaworthy is his lordship and leadership and worship. All of those things are what makes our ship seaworthy. Amen? Understand his lordship. Understanding godly leadership and who you take counsel from. How many know there are so many voices out there right now that you can take counsel from? And you don't have to walk but 10 minutes away from somebody and get a whole totally different counsel. If somebody's got a different slant or different opinion, or the I heard, or they say, everybody just, I want to ask, who are they? Who are the theys that do all this saying? Right? I mean, you know, some of the stuff that we even talk about now is that they used to say. And how many of some of that stuff was old wives' tales? And we take counsel sometimes from places that are not legit, that are not reputable, you know, and we get our information. We have to think, stop and think, where is this information coming from, right? So being able to hear the Holy Spirit and taking our leadership and our cue from him is imperative. How many know we are spirit-led beings? That God wants to work in us spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit man, your mind, and even in your body. And we talked about this so many times that he literally will quicken that spirit, will quicken your mortal body. How many have had the quickening of the Holy Spirit cause your body to come alive? Two of us. Three, maybe a couple of us. I mean, there's been times when I've had to get up and preach and did not feel in my body like I literally could do it and get up and preach, and the Holy Spirit will help you preach and you sit back down and just feel drained. But the anointing kicks in and you function under the anointing. How many know there's times in your life you got to function under the anointing? All the time in your life we should be functioning out of the anointing. Amen. How many know the anointing doesn't come and go? It's not something that we walk into the church and we do, when we do, angels sing and there's a, you know, a hallelujah and a holy, and then the presence is here and we walk back out and we wait till we get there next Sunday for his presence. It doesn't work like that. You know why the presence of the Lord is here today? It's because you're here. You brought his presence with you. Till you all got here, it was just me and Dan. And it was really quiet. Huh? It's Christ in you, which is the hope of the glory. Amen? It's the operation. It's the ever-present Spirit of God that operates and dwells in us. So today I want to talk about treasure ships. Anybody ever watched Oak Island and some of those shows where they're constantly diving and looking for that treasure, right? That's buried in the sea, or it's buried in the ground, or it's, you know, they never find it. So that they can keep having season after season after season, right? Like if we find this treasure, the show's over. You know, so every week they find like a coin or something that just might be, you know, a clue that the treasure is near. Well, I want to tell you today, guys, that you are a treasure ship. And I want to tell you that there are people that are seeking your treasure. Not to take your treasure, but to participate and benefit from the treasure you are. Can I just tell you this morning that you are a treasure to the body of Christ? You are a treasure to the body of Christ, and each and every one of you have a part that you play. Don't ever think that your presence in this house doesn't matter. It matters when you come together and you are stirred enough to get up on a Sunday and come to church and be a part of a body. How many know that matters? We treasure you. We treasure the fellowship. I treasure the fellowship and treasure this body. Amen? And so you are a treasure, and your giftings and your anointings and your talents are important to the body of Christ. But I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. But we have a treasure in this earthen body. You can go ahead and put up my first scripture. And I want to talk about a treasure ship this morning, and I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, because this is kind of the culmination of the book of Acts. We've been in the book of Acts for quite some time now, talking about the activated gospel, action figures, the disciples who were activated, who took action, who made things happen, who took the gospel. How many know Jesus said to his most beloved and his closest friends, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you think the disciples made it to the United States? Probably not. But their message did. Their message did, because men of faith, women of faith, stood up, believed the gospel, remembered and believed the message of the finished work of the cross. They were so passionate about what they believed that they gave their lives to preach what you are hearing today. They gave their lives to preach the message of the gospel. And so it's the activated gospel. It's the activation not only of the gospel, but how many know something very important happened in the book of Acts that activated them and was the action behind what they were able to do? What was that? It was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It was the giving of the Holy Spirit in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, right? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it. How many know Jesus told them, he said, go to the upper room and tarry there. How many know sometimes I think we miss out today on tarry. We do everything in such a hurry that sometimes I think we just need to tarry a little bit. How many remember when you were trying to get the Holy Ghost tarrying at the altar? And they would tell you, you got to tarry for it. You got to pray and you got to wait and you got to, you know, and some of that stuff's okay. I remember going to services and praying till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Amen. We tarried there. And then my mom and dad would get up and carry 6 or 7 of us out of sleep and take us home. Didn't matter, we had school the next day. And we lived to tell about it, didn't we? We tarried there. Like, we spent time at the altar and we tarried. And you know, you don't have to tarry for the Holy Spirit. Really, it's as simple as saying, Lord, I receive it, give it. If it's a gift, I want it. If it's a gift, I want it. One of the things I love about church camp is kids come with the intent and vulnerable and with their hearts prepared that I want to get the Holy Ghost. And they'll get up here at the altar and they'll cry and they'll pray and their friends will pray with them and they'll tarry at the altar. And they sometimes have stayed there till 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, tarrying and praying and pouring their heart out to God. How many know that doesn't just have to happen at church camp? But the presence of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit in speaking tongues is available to every believer, yeah. Right? So we have the Spirit of God in us, but the evidence of that is our prayer language and our speaking in tongues. And the evidence of that, it's not spooky, it's not weird, it's power, right? So it's power. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the treasure that we have. So I think I'm in, where am I at? I'm in 2 Corinthians 4, that's where I'm at. In the Amplified Bible, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts. What's he given us? The light of the knowledge of the glory and majesty of God, clearly revealed in the face of Christ. We have received the light of the gospel, and we have received Christ. Amen. He who said, let there be light, said to me one day, let there be light. Yeah. His light illuminating me. But we have this precious treasure. Everyone say treasure. What is the treasure? It's the good news about salvation. in unworthy earthen vessels of human frailty, so that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God, his sufficiency, and not from ourselves. Now, I want to stop there for just a minute, so keep that there so I don't get lost. It says, we have this treasure, and Amplified says it, King James says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in clay pots. How many know, from dust you came, dust you return? He's talking about us, our vessels, but he said, Amplified says it like this, the good news about salvation in unworthy earthen vessels of human frailty, so that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God, his sufficiency, and not from ourselves. Now, I heard people say sometimes, and here's what happens sometimes. I had to do a teaching at a women's conference just a couple weeks ago on the infilling of the Holy Spirit and helping women understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost, what the Holy Ghost is for, and the purpose of that. And one of the things I wanted to say to them is sometimes we think, well, God gave it to them, but he didn't give it to me. What, you know? And we think, well, I must not be worthy, right? Or maybe I've got sin in my life. And I've heard people preach it like that. Well, then you must not be praying hard enough. You must not be worthy. You must have sin in your life. Or, I mean, you know, it's a gift. You don't earn it. You don't pay for it. You don't buy it. And as a matter of fact, if you had to be perfect to get it, guess what? You wouldn't need it. The power of the Holy Spirit is just that. It's the power, right? It's the gift. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that inner voice, that inner strength, that inner word that will quicken to you a scripture when you need it. Will quicken to you something in a message. See, I could take a poll when I get done and ask every one of you before you leave, what did I preach about today? And each of you will have a different concept probably of what I say, because the Holy Spirit will quicken to you out of everything that I say what you need to hear. And so wherever it's connecting with you this morning, that's probably what you're going to say I preached about. Right? Because that's the way the Holy Spirit works in us. It quickens to us. It brings alive. That's why the knowing the scriptures is so important. You cannot draw money out of a bank account that doesn't have any in it. It's called overdraft. And we got a whole lot of Christians living on overdraft. It comes time to pull out and draw out of that resource, and we've not deposited anything in there. And so we have a deficit, and we don't understand why we can't connect, or why we don't know what God is saying. But the scripture, David, the psalmist said in the Old Testament, I will hide his word in my heart. Not hide it so nobody else can see it. I will store it up in my heart. Why? Then I might not sin against God. The scriptures are your force. It's your power. It's your quickening. And I want to talk about this morning being your GPS system, right? You hear me say that a lot. And when I say GPS, I got three letters for you. You can write these down if you want to. GPS stands for G, guide and govern. The Holy Spirit guides and governs you. P, it is the power of God under repentance. And S, it's spiritual gifts. And so I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit and the GPS system and the treasure that we have. How many are thankful that we have GPS? Man, we've been, oh yes, we had some really holy amens over here. Oh yes. Like, we can go down the road now and we can punch in where we want to go on a smartphone. If you have a smartphone, if you don't, you still write on a piece of cardboard and put it in the side of your door. Or we take our map. My husband raises his hand. But he has a smart wife who has a smartphone. So that works together, right, babe? That's better, he says. But we can punch in where we want to go, right? And it will tell you the fastest way to get there. It'll tell you the scenic route. It'll tell you if there are roadblocks. It will tell you if you're going too fast. It'll tell you if radar is set up, right? It'll tell you where the restaurants are. It'll tell you where the gas stations are. It'll tell you how many miles and how long it's going to take you. Estimated time of arrival, barring any difficulties, right? How many know the power of the Holy Spirit is your GPS system? Yeah. It'll tell you which road to take. It'll tell you how to avoid roadblocks. It will tell you how to avoid construction or deconstruction. It'll tell you where the filling stations, that's what we used to call them back in the old days, not gas station, we called them the filling stations, right? How many are thankful for filling stations? Where you can be refilled and renewed with God's goodness and His mercy. How many know that GPS system has become so important to us? We used to Google it on Google Maps and print it out, and then you printed your way back home, right? We still travel with a map all the time because there's some times when you don't have signal. You ever felt like you lost connection? Satellite's still there. You're just in a place in your journey where you're not tapping in to the satellite, to the signal. Amen? And so we got to get ourselves to a place where the Amazon guy showed up at my house the other day and with a package, and we've just started getting mail in our house. So I said, well, who's it for? And he said, Lisa Unger. I said, oh, well, that's me. I said, I thought maybe, because a lot of times what he does is drop it off my house for the neighbors. So I was going to tell him the neighbor is just a little bit farther up the road just to help him out. And he said, well, I haven't had GPS signal for about 20 minutes right now. I mean, you know, there's sometimes when you're going to have to rely on your wisdom or the roadmap, which is your Bible, to get you there when you're not sure what else to do. I mean, you know, it is our governing system. It is our GPS. It guides and governs you. Guides and governs you. How many believe that the Holy Spirit will direct your steps? He can give you wisdom in every part of your life. How many believe God will give you wisdom in business? Amen. How many believe God will give you wisdom in the areas of your health? Yeah. How many believe God will give you wisdom in medicine? Amen. How many believe God will give you wisdom in how to heal your marriage? How many believe God will give you wisdom in how to raise your kids? God will give you wisdom how to handle your finances and business and all of those kind of things. Because I believe wisdom comes from the Lord. And how many know we need a combination of wisdom and knowledge? You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't know how to execute it and put it into practice, it's just knowledge. It's just in your head. Wisdom won't tell you how to put it in operation. It will guide and govern. How many know every one of us need a governor? Amen. A governor. It governs our actions. It speaks in our ear. It whispers in us to help us make wise decisions. Don't go there. Don't do that. Here's a big one. Don't say that. Amen? Amen? Don't say it. Don't do it. Sometimes we think, don't think it. I got to change my thinking process sometimes. I'll start to dwell on things. I'm like, why am I even thinking about this? I'm going to change my thinking. If I am dreaming a dream, and it's a bad dream or a dream I don't like, and I wake up, I will redirect my dream. And I'll start thinking, before I go back to sleep, the way I can change this process. I change my thinking so I don't go right back to that spot and pick it up and dream. I mean, sometimes you got to change your thought process. My cure for not sleeping at night is praying in the Holy Ghost, is praying. I wake up in the night, if I can't sleep, I'll just start praying. Holy Spirit, Brother Bill needs a healing in his body. Lord, I thank you that you're touching his mom. Lord, I thank you that you're with Kathy. I thank you that you're touching Angie's back. Lord, I thank you. And I just start to thank him and pray over people that I know need healing or need a touch. And how many know that you can pray and the Holy Spirit will give you peace and it'll take you right back to sleep sometimes. And so it's a governing system. How many know we are governed by the Holy Spirit? There's things we could do, but we don't, because we know it's not in alignment with what God desires of us. You know, when we were raising our kids, we'd say, you know, that's not who you are. That's not really true of you. That's not what you were raised to be. That's not what the way you were raised to act. How many of we call forth the good in them? You're too good of a kid to act like that. And we begin to encourage them to do those things that are good. It's a governor. It's a governor system. It's power. And it is our spiritual gifts. Where did I leave off at? 7. However, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel in frail human vessels of earth, that the grander and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. We are pressured in every way, hedged in, but not crushed. Perplexed, unsure of finding our way out, but not driven to despair. How many know you can be perplexed, but not be in despair? Hunted down and persecuted, but not deserted. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be shown in our body. For we who live are constantly experiencing the threat of being handed over to death for Jesus' sake. How many know this is the disciples talking about the persecution and the distress and the despair they're facing is not our everyday crisis. We have a bad day and we think we're in crisis. How many know the crisis that they faced was every day the persecution of preaching the message of the gospel of grace and the gospel of the blood of Jesus? That's the persecution that they faced. They said, we face it, but we're not out of the game. So that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be evidenced in our mortal body, which is subject to death. So physical death is actively at work in us, but spiritual life is actively at work in you. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had, who wrote in Scripture, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us along with you in his presence. For all these things are for your sake, so that as God's remarkable, undeserved grace reaches to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of our great God. Therefore, we do not become discouraged. We do not become discouraged, spiritless, disappointed, or afraid. Though our outer self is progressively wasting away, your inner self is being progressively renewed day by day. For our momentary light distress, this passing trouble is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, a fullness beyond all measure, surpassing all comparisons, a transcendent splendor and an endless blessedness. So we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, for the things which are visible are temporal, temporary, brief, and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. We have this treasure in our treasure ship. I mean, you are a treasure today. The excellency of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the cross, the light of the gospel, the life of Christ, and the Holy Spirit. How many know is in your treasure chest? Jesus said that it would guide and govern. Jesus said to the disciples, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send you what? The Spirit of truth, and it will lead and guide you into all truth. How many know, I don't want to know opinion, I want to know what the truth is. Yes. I want to know truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. How many know there's sometimes you got to trust the Holy Ghost, trusts the word of truth over the news, over social media, over somebody's opinion. I mean, you got to trust God. There's situations where you got to trust God and trust that he will guide and govern you and lead you into all truth. That's out of John 14 and 15 through 27. He is our comforter. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. This is something that I thought was pretty interesting and pretty powerful. I want to talk about we said guides and governs. The next thing is the power. He says in Luke 24:49 in the Amplified, he said, listen carefully. I am sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you, but you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed or fully equipped with what? Power from on high. He tells them to go there until you be endued with power. That's why Peter and John walk out of the up to the temple with the gate beautiful and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What do we have? The power. That word power is the dunamis power. Sister Wilda used to talk about the dunamis power. That word dunamis comes from the word dynamite. The dynamite power of God. However many of y'all remember dynamite? A couple of you do. Dynamite. Which reminds me, Brother Bob's action figure growing up was Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse. He said, I said Mickey Mouse, but I meant Mighty Mouse. I said, I like them both. They both got action figures. How many know Mickey Mouse's probably greatest thing was finance, wasn't it? His superpower was finance and the ability to stick around. But Mighty Mouse, how many know when Mighty Mouse was on the way? Underdog, anybody remember Underdog? Yeah. It was on the way. Huh? Adamant, I forgot about him. But how many, it's the power. But we were down there the other week, and I had Trish look up the word for me for power, dunamis, dynamite. I wanted to bring that out, and she looked it up, and listen to this. She said it's the same word that same word as the virtue that flowed out of Jesus as the woman touched his hem. Let me read that again, because that is good. Power, he said, go to the upper room until you be endued with power from on high. That power is the same word that is translated as the virtue that flowed out of Jesus as the woman touched his hem. How many know that's power? That's a woman who came in unworthy. That's a woman who had to come in crying out and pointing out her infirmities. She had to come in. And how many know sometimes we spend all of our time shouting out all the reasons why we're unclean instead of just pressing in and touching the hem of his garment? Your uncleanness does not keep you out of his presence. But if you'll press in, that same power in the virtue that flowed out of his hem caused her to be made every whit whole. How many know she risked charges from touching someone when she was unclean? But she said, today it's all or nothing. Either I touch him and I'm made whole, or I go home and die because I can no longer stay in the state that I'm in. I don't know about you, but I'm in a season of my life that I want to see the demonstration of the power. The power, the same power that when that woman touched that garment, Jesus said, I felt something leave my body. I felt something flow out of me that was more powerful than the flow of her infirmities. How many know there is a power that we forget sometimes, and we forget to tap into the power and live out of the resource. That same power. He said, I want you to go and be endued with that same power that caused that woman to walk away whole and healed that day. And on the day of Pentecost, it came as a sound of a mighty rushing wind. I like to think about it like this. It's a difference between a handsaw and a power saw. Amen. I mean, there's a big difference between a handsaw and a power saw. There's a big difference depending on the job you're going to do. Anybody remember the two-handed saws people used to have to cut trees down with? Cross cuts. Yeah, now we got power saws, chainsaws, don't we? We even gotten one now that's a battery saw. Well, we got lots of them. It's battery saws. I mean, you just got to connect with a power source. And to me, it's the connection to the power source and realizing that we do have a power and we can live out of that power and not just taking things as they come, but realizing we can live out of that power. And the third thing is the S, GPS, is the spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, I believe it is, 4 through 11, whatever translation is fine. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge. By means of the same Spirit, to another, faith. By the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing. By that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. How many know there are many giftings and talents in the body? And we sometimes limit those spiritual gifts to just that list. But how many know there are those who are gifted with their hands? There are those who are gifted in hospitality. There are those who are gifted, as I said before, in business. There are those who are anointed to teach. How many know there's a difference in being trained to teach and being anointed to teach? There's a difference in being able to work with your hands and being anointed to work with your hands. There's some hands that are just God has gifted them with talents and treasures and abilities. And we don't have to just pick one. I mean, we can have many different talents and treasures, and we think that what we do outside of this building was not a spiritual gift. I mean, it's a gift to be able to work with children. It's a gift to be able to work with the sick. It's a gift to be able to work with the public. And there are anointings and giftings as God gives us those abilities and those treasures, and we live out of those spiritual gifts, and we treasure those. I mean, we are a treasure ship. We have that treasure in an earthen vessel. And also, the power of the Holy Spirit is your groaning and utterings. It is your prayer language. It says, for when in Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Every one of us in here are called according to his purpose. There's a calling. We all have that calling. He said, you didn't come to me by chance, but I called you. How many are thankful for the prodding and the calling of the Holy Spirit? How many remember the moment when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit in you? And if you've not experienced that, we're willing to pray with you at any time, any moment. And it's as simple. You don't have to even come to an altar and go through a certain ritual to get it. It's as simple as coming up and saying, Lord, I receive, and begin to praise him in tongues. Begin to just start speaking it out. You can do it in your car going down the road. You can do it out in the woods hunting deer. You can do it wherever you are, because sometimes it's just the comfort and the ability to say, Lord, I release to you, and being vulnerable enough to release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I told you the story I'll tell you mine first. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was just a little girl. We were at a church meeting, and we were having one of those times, and they were crying and praying, and I looked over at my sisters. They're just crying and praying, and they're speaking in tongues, and I just started speaking in tongues, and it just came so freely because it was a kid, and I just received it. It was told me it was for me, and I just received it. But I remember when my dad and my mom were seeking the Holy Spirit, and so they would go to tent revivals, and they'd go to all the places where they heard that somebody's getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they would go, and so mom went up one night to get prayed for the Holy Spirit, and her sister went up with her, and Jenny, and they went to lay hands on mom for it, and they said, do you want it too? And she said, oh, no, she does. She said, I was afraid of it, so I just told him, no, I don't want it, she does. And she said, we both got filled with the Holy Spirit that same night. And then my dad had been praying for it, and he didn't know if he got it. And he said he went back to his sister Eva, which would be Linda's older sister. And he went back to Eva and he said, Eva, I don't know. He said, I've just been praying for the Holy Spirit. And he said, I think I got it, but I just don't know. And he said, I sat down beside her rocking chair on the floor. And she said, well, Jack, just go ahead and start speaking and I'll tell you if that's it. And she said, I just started speaking tongues. And she said, that's it. That's it. It was just that easy to release it and speak it and have faith to believe that is a gift that I can receive. And I can, you know, and my dad, if you knew my dad, when he prayed, Lord, the anointing would get on him, and he would get his head would jerk, you know, and he would get the anointing, and he'd pray for you. And a lot of times when he prayed for you, he didn't say anything. You remember he prayed for you, he didn't say anything. And then we got done, and he, you know, his head would jerk like this. And I don't say in any way mocking, but his head would jerk. And our kids figured out that when Pat prays for you, you get it. And when he's head jerk, that means, yeah, you got it. And they said, Mom, when you pray for us, you got to jerk your head because that means, yeah, you got it. You know, that thought that was the formula. But I've seen the power of God slay people in the spirit. I've seen God, you know, I've seen kids run around this church praying and jumping and praying in the Holy Ghost and things like that. I've seen the real deal. Amen. I know there's counterfeit out there, and I know it can sometimes get strange or weird to those who don't understand what it is. But what the bank does is never let their tellers or the people who handle their money handle the counterfeit. So the moment the counterfeit comes through, they can feel it, and they know it. I'm going to tell you, if you connect yourself to the real deal, when the counterfeit comes along, you'll know it. Because if it's not sweet and if it's not precious and if it's not coming from a place of relationship with God, then it's man-made and it's not the Holy Spirit. But when it's precious and real and alive to you, it's the real deal. Amen? It's not the counterfeit, and it is the power. It is your GPS system. And I want to tell you this morning, when we circumvent the governor and our guidance system, I mean, that's when you get led down the wrong path. When you don't listen to that inner voice and heed his spirit and you get talked into something, it leads you down a wrong path. And how many know sometimes it's a bit of a journey to get back to where good road is again? Amen. Anybody ever had your GPS take you down a cow path and you think, where in the world are we going? It's not that it won't get you there, but it might take you through a few humps and bumps before you get back on the straight and narrow. Huh? Been there. Been there. It'll get you on. But if you follow the governor of the Holy Spirit, he'll take you to your destination in the best way. And he'll give you signs and signals along the way. Slow down. Watch out for speed traps. Watch out for construction. There's a bump ahead. Yeah. Radar set up. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Treasure ship, the last of our ships that I think that I'm going to talk about today. How many know when Noah built the ark? When Noah built the ark, his greatest treasure was on board that ark. Yeah? His family was on that boat. What we build, what we construct, what God speaks to us to build in our homes and in our life houses our treasure. Amen. And he built this, the Hebrew says, by faith Noah built a boat to the saving of his household. Let me tell you, if you have people that you are praying for in your family, don't think that you're being faithful and that you're coming to church doesn't matter. They see you. They're watching you. They see the real deal, and it makes a difference. Because when it begins to touch their heart, you begin to hear the testimonies and say, I remember my grandma, or I remember my mom, or I remember my dad, and I remember they loved Jesus. I remember that they loved Jesus. Amen? It matters what you do. It's a treasure ship. Don't let that treasure ship get shipwrecked and the pirates come in to scavenge those things that are precious to you. Build a tight ship. build a boat that is seaworthy, that He is the Lord of your ship. Amen. If you'd like to pray this morning, if you have a special request, if you're seeking the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, if you have a need this morning, we open the altar to you to receive everything that God has for you as Beth sings.